Westchester Talk Radio is broadcasting live.
News, trends, and more.
No one knows Westchester County better than we do.
We are Westchester Talk Radio.
Good day. Welcome to Westchester Talk Radio, westchestertalkradio.com, produced by Shark Creative, made possible by Robeson Oil, the house that service built. By Lipolis Electric, don't be left in the dark, get Lipolis. By Hightower Westchester, managing your wealth to a fiduciary standard. By White Plains Hospital, by Michael Labriola, landscape design and construction of Armonk, and by Tompkins Mayopac Bank. Here we are on the beat in Westchester, and we are joined by Howard Sturman. Howard Sturman is the publisher and CEO of the Hometown Media Group. At the Hometown Media Group, they put together the Eastchester, Harrison, Mamaroneck, Rye City, and City of New Rochelle reviews, each a separate online publication. Go to the website for the Hometown Media Group here in Westchester. Howard Sturman's been a busy month, a busy summer of 2021. We keep going back and forth, day by day, moment to moment, second by second with the COVID pandemic. It's subsiding, it's increasing. Put your mask on, take your mask off. Where are we right now at this second?
Well, right now I'm wearing a Howard Sturman mask that you can buy on my website.
At the Hometown Media Group website, right?
Why not? I'm mandating that. If you want to talk to me, you got to wear my mask. Any event, thank you, John, for having me. We're talking about masks again. It used to be just vaccines, and now that we got vaccinated, I'm wondering why. They say because you don't die, which might be true, although we haven't had enough time to really find out what the story is of the vaccines. But thankfully, everybody I know that's been vaccinated has been in good health. And I hope your listeners are experiencing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you listened to the president yesterday with his press conference. And there seems to be a lot of inconsistencies. And I'm having trouble. I'm going to call it confused. I think people in Washington, who I've never been a real supporter of, no matter what party it is, because I found that everything that they touch, they mess up anyway. But in any event, he's been pushing the vaccination. He talks about this Delta variant. And if you're vaccinated, you won't get sick, they're saying. Although they're saying at the same time, and this is the scare tactics that I really have a lot of difficulty with, is you got to get, this is raging, this is terrible. And the truth is that the positivity rate is a meaningless number at this point. You know, if we kept track of every time someone got the flu and survived the flu, that could be a gigantic number also. The truth is that the number that you have to be aware of is hospitalizations and, unfortunately, deaths.
Do you think this is all scare tactic on the government's part, or is it simply just that they don't know and they're trying any and every angle?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. I clearly am convinced that they don't know, because 1 week, the CDC comes out and says, if you're vaccinated, you don't need a mask. Next week, they do. 2 weeks ago, they said school kids don't have to wear it. This week, they do. I don't believe the science is moving that fast, okay? This Delta variant has been around for a while. And now they're deciding what to do about it. The other question is that if this is a serious contagion that is going around, okay, what are they doing about it to stop it? Wearing a mask is not going to make it disappear. Do we need another vaccine? Do we need another booster? Do I trust them? Because they told me it's like, if you want to keep your doctor, you can. You know, it's like, I don't know what to do. I'm of the age group where about 80% of my peers have been vaccinated. And why? Because they scared the hell out of us. We thought we were going to die if we got it. And it might be true. Now look, 310,000 souls or more, I think it is, of Americans have died. So it didn't come from anywhere. Although I don't believe the statistics, it's certainly a number that is dramatic of anything we've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. All right, now we have cases going up in Westchester, throughout the Hudson Valley, vaccinations, people getting stuck in the arm, that's going down. The question is, how do we get more people vaccinated? Also, the question is, do you think we might be facing some kind of lockdown again soon?
Yes. First of all, the vaccination issue is not what we should be focusing on. If they are telling us we need to be afraid of the Delta variant, then they need to give us guidance to protect ourselves from the Delta variant. I don't believe face masks work. I don't know if you've ever noticed people take the face, like I'm one of them. I throw the mask in my glove compartment, so I always have it available if I'm required to wear it. God knows what's crawling around in there. When I touch my arm and then take the mask off, did I just contaminate myself?
Right.
Watch women. They throw their masks in their purse. I don't even want to make a film, a Japanese horror movie about what goes on in some of those purses. You don't know what are the masks doing. We're not wearing masks that are really that protective. I mean, do you wear face shields? I mean, how far are we going to take this thing? I'm still in favor of the Howard Sturman mask, but...
I wonder the same thing about masks, that we touch everything, then we touch our mask, and we go back and forth, and yet it's okay. They say for a mask to be on, I do carry two with me at all times in case the one I'm wearing happens to break or malfunction. And everything we're doing in society right now is based upon COVID, our response to COVID, our response to vaccinations, pro, con, et cetera. And yet there are so many other issues, and whether or not COVID figures into these issues, well, that's a matter of debate. One issue,
John,
I think...
John, if I could. Based on the press conference yesterday, we know from what they've told us, if we believe them, that the vaccination is not going to stop the Delta variant. Okay? We know that. So why are we focusing on the vaccination right now? Why aren't we focusing on how do we stop this? Now, is the spread, are we building up immunities for all these cases that are coming about? What we're not getting any of this information. They say we're following the science, but they refuse to tell us what the actual science is. CDC is very slow on coming out with reports. And they seem to be pressured by the administration and the unions. So they're not a trustworthy organization anymore. So who do we go to? We go to our doctor?
Howard Sturman is the publisher and CEO of Westchester's Hometown Media Group. Howard, as we head towards November now, and we'll start to really get into the meat and potatoes of the election season, does challenger Christine Schulte have any shot at all to defeat incumbent County Executive George Latimer in his re-election bid?
Look, I have to say that she has a long road to travel, and I never say never, but it's a tough race for her, and, you know, stranger things have happened, but if you were a betting man, I think you'd have to go with George Latimer.
No question about that. And the county executive has worked diligently to get Ride Playland open this summer. An immediate bing, bang, boom, the reopening of Ride Playland early in the summer of 2021. Now maybe the appeal is falling off just a little bit. And regardless of whether or not we're going to go back again to Ride Playland this summer, I guess we're in store for a whopping $100 million in renovations at Playland over the next number of years. What can $100 million bucks get us?
A new park,
Okay. That,
and
yeah.
Do we want to be in the park business?
The look of a new park. Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
So
what else?
I think there's other uses that we could spend the money on. I don't know about you, but between my wife and I, we've had 3 blowouts on the roads today. Traveling with our tires have been blowing out for potholes. I'd rather put the money into improving our roads. Our highways seem to be always under construction, but never completed.
Right.
$100 million on an amusement park sounds to me like, if I was a profit-making guy, if someone wanted me to buy this and make a profit out of it, there's no way that I would invest $100 million in it because it would take me many lifetimes to get it back.
You talk about tire blowouts on the road, potholes. Do we have a federal infrastructure deal now, finally? They said we did a few weeks ago. Turned out we didn't. So now they say we do again, and I'm wondering.
The people like Chuck Schumer are saying, yeah, we have a deal, and there are a number of Republicans that are crossing the line. And it's not a line. It's a bipartisan bill that they're working on. You have to understand this $1.2 trillion bill, what it represents. $700 million of that bill is the every 7 years or so, they have to renew the Road Act, the Highway and Road Act. That money is just basically a renewal of the money that we put in into the highways now, or the lack of money that we put into the highways now. So the other $500 million is supposed to go for airports and tunnels and bridges and other infrastructure, broadband, but that's it. And that's why it's bipartisan. The reason it hasn't gone to step two is because they keep talking about a bill, but nobody bothers to write it. So how do you vote? I mean, I'm not going to say that because we know Congress votes on bills that they don't read. But this is a bill that is a gigantic spending plan, and we need to read it.
All right. As Nancy Pelosi once said, we have to vote for it so then we can know what's in it.
Yeah, ask her.
And we vote for it first and then give it a read.
John, next time you talk to her, ask her if she ever read the 14,000 pages in the Obamacare plan.
Right. That's when she said that way back when,
almost
a decade ago. And those words have come back in play today from people I know who've tossed it around. Let's get it voted for, and then we can take a look at it and see what's actually in there.
Yeah, concept is, okay, let's vote on concepts. Okay, great idea. It's a great concept. But I think there's going to be, if they add on any of this boondoggle stuff that they're talking about, I believe there's going to be some Democratic defectors, and it's not going to pass.
Yeah, now, you talk about the add-ons, and we see more and more talked about as an add-on every day. Now we're talking about maybe getting DACA added onto that or onto reconciliation. Should bills in Congress or in any governmental branch be limited to what they are supposed to be about? I'm all for a social infrastructure bill along with a highway and roads and broadband infrastructure bill, but can't we split it into two so we know exactly what's going to go to roads and bridges, what's going to go to infrastructure, what's going to go to electrical and water systems, and then on the other side of the coin, what's going to go, for example, to help renters? And oh, by the way, that federal eviction exemption, well, that's going to be evicted and off the books in about 24 hours.
Okay, well, that's a novel idea, that asking them to read these things and to break it out so we understand what we're voting for. And I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. But the real problem here, and I was going to add that to what I had said before, was what's looming in the woods there is the reconciliation portion of this. Now, that is a total boondoggle. It's a wish list of progressives and interest groups that have, we have no business. We're, first of all, we're in an inflation spiral right now. This spending, this government spending, it's okay to stimulate, but after a point, it's not going to help our economy. And although President Biden says, oh, it's going to add, you know, 5 million jobs and this and that, well, I don't think it's going to add the jobs. It's going to just keep the jobs that currently exist. Anybody that can work on a highway right now is working. Drive around. See how many spots they're working on the roads. They're working on the roads now, more than I've ever seen it before. Now, where is this money coming from? Probably the last COVID bill.
Mm-hmm. Now, we talk about what's happening in Congress and how that ties into what goes on locally, and what's happening around the country, how it ties into what goes on locally. And a lot of what the Biden administration has done has come under fire for a variety of reasons, and I alluded to a moment ago, and let's get into this a little bit. Within the next day or so, and I see the administration taking some hits from allies today about the renters situation around the country, how the renters moratorium, the eviction moratorium, comes to an end within hours, and some are asking, how can a Democratic Congress and the Biden administration, being totally in charge, have allowed this now to get to this point? They basically have 24 hours to work something out. Otherwise, people might be going around the country, flying out of the doors of their homes and apartments and wherever else they might happen to reside in. Unless they reside in their own vehicle and you're not up to date on your rent, you might have a problem.
Yeah, look, I'm a little confused by this rental bill, because I'm not sure the federal government has the right to grant this moratorium. And maybe,
what about under pandemic conditions?
Yeah, but okay. Yeah, how long can they carry that torch? Everything that they do, I mean, look, there's another side to this renter moratorium. And that goes to the landlords who pay most of the real estate taxes in their communities. And how are they supposed to pay their bills to keep people have heated or air-conditioned homes, the elevators going up and down, and everything else? How are they supposed to do that?
And that leads to another issue where we find that a lot of the money that was supposed to go to renters and to landlords from the COVID bill, from all the COVID bills combined, and not much of that seems to have landed in the hands of the people it's supposed to, in the hands of the people it's supposed to land into all this funding. So where did it go? Where's all this money going?
Well,
that's why we have this situation.
For the most part, I think people said, oh, wow, I got a chance for free rent. But there's no free ride. There is no free rent. So once this moratorium ends, if they haven't paid their rent for the last 12 months or whatever, the landlord's going to be looking for that money, okay? And if you weren't smart enough to put at least a portion of it away so that you can negotiate with them, you're going to be tossed. There's no question about it. And, you know, you have to, this pandemic did not wipe out everybody's livelihoods. People are still earning money. People are still working, maybe not as great as it was before, but this is not a natural disaster where people can't even get into their offices. We can go back to work. We've been going back to work. And those people that want to work can definitely find a job.
Howard Sterman is the publisher and CEO of Westchester's Hometown Media Group, and online they publish individually the Eastchester, Harrison, Mamaroneck, Rye City, and City of New Rochelle reviews. Howard Sterman, also a longtime political analyst at 1460 AM WVOX Radio in New Rochelle, one of my old former homes around the county of Westchester, where Howard and I first met and got to work together for a few years back now. Howard Sterman, as we look around the country, we see election laws, voting rights, that's become a major issue, especially in southern states like Texas and Georgia. We have, I guess to some extent, a bit of a controversy election-wise here in New York State, the use of ranked choice voting like we did in New York City and other locales around the state. over the course of the past few months, voting in New York City, the mayoral race, et cetera. Howard Sterman, does ranked choice voting have any kind of a home or a future here in Westchester? Is this a thing that we can do or should do?
No, it's a horror show. I mean, we did it in New York City. This is not what a democracy is. This makes the person in the last position become a leader. I mean, if you look at the ranked choice voting that went on in the city, Eric Adams, who is now the
presumptive mayor.
Presumptive mayor, right, because I don't see Curtis Sliwa beating him.
No.
He was in the back of the polls here. And he just pulled ahead because he moved up the rank. And all of a sudden, he was running against, I mean, if he supported the weakest candidate there, that would have put him in the top seat. Because you get the weakest candidate up to the top, and he's in a runoff with the weakest candidate, he's the person. I don't see why we can't just vote for who we want.
I look at it this way. The Rangers are my favorite hockey team. They had more points than Montreal Canadiens, who were a Stanley Cup finalist. Well, I rank the Rangers ahead of Montreal as a Rangers fan. Why can't the Rangers be in the Stanley Cup finals? I'm a Knicks fan. I love the Knicks. You know, why can't I rank the Knicks on top of the NBA champions? You know, you have the Phoenix Suns, Milwaukee Bucks, a great series. Milwaukee won. Well, I say the Knicks would have beaten Milwaukee if they were given a chance, a 7-game series.
Yeah, you have to get a little more talent on the Knicks for them to do that.
Yeah, I hope the draft last night added a little more. I'm wondering about that. Yeah. So I know the coach got who he wanted, Miles McBride, but that's a discussion for another day. Obviously.
No, look, we're coming in. The argument now is it appears that the Democrats, with loosening up under the guise of the pandemic, loosening all the election laws by fiat rather than by due deliberation.
By decree?
By decree is an even better word. It seems that the Democrats realize that, hey, this works. I can win elections with this. So why not do this? Why not let me get the time to go out and harvest the ballots, which they're experienced at. They are good at that, always have been.
Usually, should people receive in the mail, whether you are registered or not? I guess you should be registered to get this, but whether you ask for it or not, just get a ballot in the mail and make it simple for you. If you decide not to go to the polls, you just send your ballot in.
Well, if you rely on the mail, that's another problem.
Okay.
You can't rely on the mail. You can't do this on the internet because people can hack it.
Right.
So the only method that should be foolproof is the old-fashioned appearing in person and voting. It wasn't a big stretch for us 8 years ago. We all did it. And, you know, unless you were in college or you were ill, you got an absentee ballot. You certified that you have a reason to get an absentee ballot. You don't need a reason anymore. And you voted that way. They didn't count the absentee ballots unless they had to. So basically,
it's definitely a question that obviously is going to get kicked and tossed around a lot more between now and the 2022 congressional elections and the 2024 presidential election. And a lot more locales across the country, I think, are going to be dealing with the issue about how you vote, when you can vote, whether or not ranked choice voting should be used, and a whole lot more. Howard Sterman, there was a poll published a few days ago that indicated confidence in America amongst Americans has gone down sharply in the last 3 months, about 20 points since April. Here we are, late July, and that includes almost 20 points amongst Democrats, too. Could that all be a misprint?
I don't think so. I don't think so. Look at President Biden. He started out of the gate with a 65% approval rating. He's now hovering in the low 40s. His vice presidential candidate might even be lower. And so these mixed messages and these speeches that are made with new ideas, claiming new ideas, and when asked about didn't you say a month ago that you weren't going to have a mask mandate? And their response would be, no, we never said that. We are not all crazy. People listen to what he has to say because he's the president. And, you know, we have to take him at his word. So now we're in a whole new struggle with masks, mandates. You know, if we take this a step further, and this is my big concern, all of a sudden the retailers are not going to see the foot traffic coming in. People are going to go back to ordering online. The butcher, the baker, and the candlestick maker is going to die without the traffic. How do we build back this economy again? I mean, by all intents and purposes, this economy is in a good position if we rein in inflation. And unemployment is not disastrous. We're not in a debt where we should be, you know, being in a crisis mode. It's not disastrous. It's not good, but it's not bad.
Howard Sterman, we've both seen in our respective lifetimes, and we're in a similar age group, inflation happened before, a couple of times before through the decades. To me, it seems like this round of inflation has piled on, compounded on us extra quickly, quicker than any inflation we've ever seen before, any spate of inflation. A, is that so? And B, how could this inflation pile up so fast?
Well, the main reason that this got kick-started was our supply side. Moving goods around this country has gotten prohibitive. It has gotten so expensive. And that is because the drivers were less because they didn't want to come into contact with at the delivery points. There were a lot of people that left that end of the workforce. Airlines weren't delivering. So we have some time to pick that end of it. But I believe this inflation is a direct result of the absolute wild spending coming out of Washington.
Crime, drugs, guns, gang violence. We talk about the confidence in America. The number is going down fast, quickly, sharply in a three-month span, over a one-quarter span of the year. How much is this factoring into these lack of hope for America numbers?
That I wish I had the answer for that. I don't know. Crime has become an interesting issue. When the Democrats finally, the ones that were defund the police, which are most of the major cities in this country, all have skyrocketing crime rates. When they came to the realization a couple of weeks ago that this is going to be the death of their campaign for reelection, all of a sudden, for example, Muriel Bowser, the mayor of Washington, D.C., came out the other day and said, I need to spend $11 million on putting more cops on the street. Now, that's a nice thing to say, and that leads people to believe that she's not on the defund bandwagon, of which she was a big proponent of. It leads her to believe that. But the bottom line is the cops don't want to come back. The cops don't want it because they know that the administrations don't have their back. And if anything goes awry, they are going to trash them immediately. And the other part of it is the cops don't want to come back because we have probably in the major cities, the worst DAs that are can't wait to cut people loose. No matter what they were convicted of. So why would I be a cop? Why would I go out there, risk my life, arrest people to see them back the next week on the same street? Or why would I do it if I knew that there was a problem that the administration was going to trash me and not back me on doing my duty?
You talk about law enforcement, investigators, DAs, et cetera. We have a long-running investigation in New York State now going on for months of Governor Andrew Cuomo by the feds, by local officials here in New York State. He, a few days ago, had to give a sworn deposition about the sexual harassment allegations against him. Does it seem like he's in a super defensive mode now? He's been in defensive mode since day one, but this is really ratcheting up by his people saying things like, well, we've heard that Attorney General Tish James wants to run for governor. That's why she's coming after me. Or Preet Bharara, we hear, wants to run for governor. That's why his former number two guy, Jin Kuhn, is trying to put the hatchet down, clamp me down, maybe knock me out of office the way he's coming after me with his investigation under the auspices of the Attorney General. And oh, by the way, Jin Kuhn has a history of being, I guess, not on the side of Andrew Cuomo in different issues through the years, not a Cuomo supporter. So is he really throwing everything, including the kitchen sink, at his defense now?
I would put it differently. I look at it, and I think the man's brilliant. And he has been able to deflect every heat-seeking missile that has been sent at him as if it was just a tennis ball. And look at the DOJ investigation. They came out last week saying that we're going to drop the investigation. We don't have grounds to continue it. He comes out and says, okay, the Department of Justice has cleared me. They didn't say that.
Right.
Okay, he used that to his advantage. Letitia James, yes, she does want to be governor. There's no question about that. And the only way she's going to get to that path is to get rid of Andrew Cuomo. So, yeah, he's smart to bring that out. Is she going to go away? I don't know.
But playing with fire, if this backfires on her and Andy Cuomo comes out maybe not smelling like a rose, but certainly on the path to re-election again, does this damage her and her future prospects for anything at this point?
No. No, because if, and I think Cuomo will win his re-election bid, but he's not running the party. Those days of him ruling with an iron fist are over. They see he's vulnerable, and they know that at the next race, he's going to disappear.
Do we need more charter schools in Westchester?
Excuse me.
New York State, Howard Sterman.
Look, charter schools have done a better job than most of our public schools. Why should we take away anything that is educating our kids while we're so busy de-educating them with all kinds of nonsense and programs and masking the kids so they don't get the most important education in life? His socialization skills. You know, we have so many obstacles thrown in these kids' way. We are dumbing our kids down.
And Sturman, yes, go continue. Go right ahead.
Anything that we can do to get these kids educated in a normal, right way, I'm in favor of. Oh, I think Randy Weingarten, who is the National Federation of Teachers union head, is calling all the shots. She's already said, this is the operative word, we're going to try to get schools opened. But we're going
to
do it.
Yesterday, that schools need to be open. That's the best way kids
learn. That's what he says. But who's really calling the shots here? Randy Weingarten has a direct phone to the CDC. She has a direct phone to all the local school boards. She is saying, hey, I'm not sending my teachers back unless I'm happy with what I want. I think she's in an extortion mode.
In what way?
She's looking for more things for the teachers and saying, hey, we don't care about the kids. We're worried about the teachers right now. I don't see any of her speeches showing her compassion for the students and the fact that they lost months and months of learning. Her claim is that this online learning works.
Does it?
Well, look, I don't have kids now in that age group or going to school anymore. So I don't want to opine on that. My attitude is that or my feeling is that it doesn't. It doesn't.
That's
because
opining on that, having a feeling.
Pardon me?
That's opining on that, having a feeling.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's a real tennis ball to be a volleyball to be batted back and forth, I think, this whole issue as we go on. And I think it's gonna go on for a long time more, and we'll see what happens just a few weeks down the road in September when it is time for schools in this region of the country to finally reopen. Howard Sterman, we thank you as always. Howard Sterman, publisher and CEO of Westchester's Hometown Media Group, political analyst at WVOX, 1460 AM radio in New Rochelle. Howard, our thanks to you as always, and we'll talk again in a few weeks right here on Westchester Talk Radio on the beat in Westchester. WestchesterTalkRadio.com, produced by Shark Creative, made possible by Robeson Oil, the house that service built by Lipolis Electric. Don't be left in the dark. Get Lipolis by Hightower Westchester, managing your wealth to a fiduciary standard, and by White Plains Hospital. Also by Michael Labriola, landscape design and construction of Armonk, and by Tompkins Mayopac Bank. I'm John Marino. Catch all of our Westchester, Rockland, Putnam and Dutchess, Orange and Fairfield County talk radio programming on our YouTube channel, Shark Creative YouTube, and you can download our Westchester Talk Radio app now. Take it with you anywhere and everywhere you happen to go. It's called Westchester Talk.
You're listening to Westchester Talk Radio,
powered by Shark Media, a division of Shark Creative,
and made possible by Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center.
Visit SafeSecureVinyl.com.